everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics Podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. He's Andy Schmidt. I'm Joey Groh. Last week, or last episode rather, we had on Mark Wade, who did the masterclass for Comics Experience. Andy, how would you sum up the Mark Wade masterclass?
It's a master seminar.
Sorry, seminar.
Get your terminology right. It was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. One of the things that's really cool about having, well, I mean, it's cool that you have somebody like Mark Wade or Brian Bendis or Paulo Rivera or Klaus or whoever to come on. It's that you're getting this information from somebody who, and for a lot of us, whose work we've followed for so long. Like, I'm a knowledgeable guy. I've got a good track record, but I don't have the kind of fan following, obviously, very obviously, as these guys do. And they're so in demand that they're impossible to pin down for a full course where you come back week after week. But which was sort of the impetus for doing the master seminars on the one day thing. But it's so great to be able to get such a different perspective on the craft. And so, you know, Mark has a background in editorial. He started in editorial, which we talked about on the podcast, and that, you know, obviously he's one of the most in demand American comic writers today. And he's great. And one of the things I love about him is how obvious he is, or not obvious, how honest, sorry, he is, about the realities of the work, about his process, and no comic creator has the same process. So, and I know a lot about different ways that people work, and after teaching for as long and trying out different things with different students, I got a lot of different directions I can go in if something's not clicking for you or whatever. But these guys just, they talk about what works for them and why it works, and the passion comes through, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I had a blast, and all the feedback we got was that everybody else seemed to learn quite a lot and had a blast too. So yeah, so thanks. I'm sure some of the people that attended are listening. Thank you for attending, and thank you again, Mark Wade, who may or may not be listening, for doing it. It was really cool.
It's always great when that many folks can get so much out of it. He's such a fun, dynamic speaker too. If you ever get a chance to see him in a panel in any cons, he's always great to talk to, and always has a lot of good and interesting takes. And he's somebody that, you know, he always also seems very open for the conversation if it might be a little more of a debate, which is always nice and encouraging too. Gives people attack stuff from different angles.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And speaking of attacking from different angles, Andy and I were talking before we started recording, and I brought up just kind of a general question that I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I know this is something that your experience with Comics Experience and then at IDW and Marvel that you've had a lot of experience with, is as a guy doing creator-owned work, looking for an editor for a project. And we kind of thought maybe this is a little bit broad in how we want to take it, which is fine, but we can also zero in on a couple of different aspects. And, you know, for me specifically, I've worked with a couple of friends directly over the years as far as editing work. And a point that you made, you know, big picture wise, if you're working with the Comics Experience Workshop or your peers and having your work reviewed and getting feedback that's constructive, you're kind of working with a number of editors already. But specifically for me, thinking about reaching out to and hiring someone I don't know, but also touching base with people that I do know, like you and Nicole Booz. I know there's some other folks on the Comics Experience Workshop that are also editors.
Yeah, so we've got a number of professionals in the workshop, some of whom are editors. You know, we've got writers, Fred Van Lente, Cullen Bunn, Kyle Higgins stops by pretty regularly. We've got artists like Riley Brown and Robert Atkins and whatnot. So, but we do have a number of editors. And one of the things that I mean, from the very inception of the workshop that I wanted to do was I wanted it to be a place where writers and artists could come, post their work up for review, critique other people's work, but also get critiques of their work, feedback, you know, but from like-minded people who are knowledgeable in how comics work, how storytelling works, and that sort of thing. And so when I launched this, the workshop, with the help of some other CE folks like Rob Anderson. One of the things we did was we went out and we hired, you know, I did a lot of the reviews early on. I don't do as many now, but Chuck Dixon would review scripts. And then Robert Atkins would review art. And now we've got Brian Atkins and Riley Brown, both professional working comic book artists, reviewing art. But reviewing scripts in addition to other members of the workshop who are all studying the craft and are at various different points in their career. We've got former Marvel editors, Mark Sumerak and Molly Laser, doing most of those critiques. And then as backup, you've got me, you've got Nicole. We're both former Marvel editors. I also worked as an editor at IDW. So I really wanted to bring a lot of the professional techniques to the workshop. And as such, I think it's been pretty effective. You know, I mean, in terms of the scripts that are eligible to get posted, you have to do a certain number of critiques before you can post a script. You know, I'm just talking about scripts right now. But, you know, our review, our professional review, which means myself, Molly, or Mark, or somebody, you know, one of us gives one of the reviews, our rate is at above 90% of the scripts that get posted. I don't have the actual number, but it's up there, like just about everything. Mm-hmm. Gets a pro critique, and it's been really useful to a lot of people, and that's one of the things that an editor does. So one of the reasons for all that to say that one of the reasons I formed the workshop was to sort of take care of a lot of those things that, like, you couldn't quite get into this in the course. You know, it fits between writing and penciling, or it's a question about collaboration. Like, you know, there are all of these other aspects. Like, of course, it's learning-based. You can learn about writing and art, and we have those conversations as well. But it fills in those gaps. And, you know, we talk a lot about budgeting in there, you know, because that's a really fun topic. And we look at the business. So, but there's a lot of that that's editing work or could be editing work. So that was a big part of why I created the workshop. It was also a big part of why we started doing mentoring. So, you know, and that's another thing, you can look that up on our website too, but that's one-on-one. So there you're paying, you know, somebody's paying, you know, if it's me, you know, you're paying for my time, and we hone in on exactly what it is, you know, that you're working on, what your goals are. You know, it's more of a strategy based, you know, it's really honed in sort of thing. But a lot of what we do, you know, what I wind up doing in those, a lot of that is often editing. It's also sort of career development and career advice and, you know, building a long-term plan, which wouldn't usually go into editing, you know, for a company, but there are all these very, you know, there are these various different ways, you know, outside of that. And then there's just the thing where, you know, somebody calls you up and wants to hire you to be their editor. And the problem with getting a call to be their editor on a project is that no two projects are the same, and no two people say editing a comic and mean the same thing. It's like the word, you know, it's like faith or religious. It's like, it means different things to different people. And so it's really hard to, like, just come up with a price for a project because, well, am I critiquing your scripts or am I not critiquing your scripts? Are they done? Are they not done? Are they easy for an artist to draw from or not? Because if they're not, then I have a lot of stuff I got to do with the artist, or I need to go in and I need to rewrite the script so an artist can use it. So, you know, when you come to, you know, what does an editor do, before you're asking that question, you need to identify what aspects that kind of fall under editorial are you going to ask somebody to handle. And they basically fall into script review, art review, finding the creators, negotiating with creators, project management, who gets final say on the project, because there are a lot of times where somebody will really want, you know, art changed, and I'll look at the script and be like, well, you didn't ask for that in the script, and you didn't mention it in layout phase, so it's really kind of inappropriate. And sometimes, you know, there are things where, like, we should let this go because there's a bigger change we may need to cash in for later. You know, so there's a lot of that sort of stuff, which people coming new to a project, they want the project to be perfect. They don't understand that. And that can create a lot of issues. So if it's a project that I'm managing, being able to have that final sort of say on it is pretty important for how the team is going to work. And so, I mean, you hope everything goes smoothly, and sometimes it does. But you know, a lot of folks are not at all interested in giving up that power, or they want to be involved in all of that stuff. And then I'm like, okay, well, now I have to edit your notes before they go to the artist, mm-hmm. and add my own. It's one of those things where it's like any given page could take me 5 minutes to edit it because it came in and it was great, or it could take me 3 hours. And so how do I put a price on that for a project? You know, or how do I estimate that out? Because I've certainly done these sorts of things where, you know, I put a price on, I was like, well, this sounds like it should take X amount of time. So I put a price on it, and it takes 3 or even 4 times as long. And I wind up going, this was a terrible, terrible mistake. not always in a way that it's like, it's an awful project, but in a way of like, okay, you know, I made like $5 an hour, if that, on this. You know, and that you can only do that so many times before you put yourself out of business. So yeah, I mean, those, I feel like I've talked around every aspect, but to my mind, when somebody is working on their creator own project and they come and they ask me to be an editor, I have a lot of questions. They usually don't have all the answers. And what I found is I honestly believe that the more as somebody doing creator own work, the more that you can do yourself, the more that you can manage yourself, I think is better for you both in the short term and in the long run. In the short term, it's because you're overseeing it and you're learning. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have challenges. You won't have arguments potentially, but you're going to learn from them. You're going to be a better collaborator. You're going to be a better creator having gone through that stuff. But in the short term, the fact that you're in it and that your passion is going through, as opposed to your passion comes to somebody like me and then I filter it, there is an advantage to that process. But I think, you know, knowing how passionate you are and being able to talk passionately about that and being able to temper your passion and be able to take that step back, these are all skills I think that I think any independent creator, creator-owned, you know, type stuff, they need these skills, and they need to develop them quickly. And your first project that you do is going to be difficult. There's no way around that, because there's just such a big learning curve. But there's a big learning curve, and once you make that curve, you've learned so much stuff that the next one is going to be better, and then the next one will be better. So I think that it is better the more that the creator can take on him or herself. I think it's better for the project. I think it's better for the creator long term. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have help. And that's where things like the creator's workshop, if you're somebody that has a bunch of people that you trust to review your work, if you know, whether it's something that you use for Comics Experience or it's something that you found somewhere else that's reliable, you know, asking for help, those reviews on the art, reviews on the writing that you can get in the workshop, or even, you know, doing a little bit of mentoring so you've got more of a game plan that you've run by through a professional, all those things make a lot of sense, and they can give you that confidence that you need. You can talk about things on the workshop. So it's all designed. You know, what I do and what Comics Experiences is about is designed to helping people be able to do this stuff on their own. The idea is that you don't need me forever, right? And I think that's just – I think it's just – in an ideal situation, it's a better way to go. But a lot of people really feel like, no, I really want an editor on this, and that's really tough. That's really tough to sort out what that really means.
Yeah, it is – a lot of it's getting into a project, like you said, if you're starting stuff for the first time. I think what I was thinking about specifically and kind of strategically of how I wanted to proceed with some projects was looking at who I knew or knew of that did some specific kinds of books that I thought might be good to help me grow and to think about how to approach the project, not just from a creative standpoint, but also from a business standpoint. If it was something where I was going outside of kind of the traditional mainstream comic ideas of I'm going to take it to wherever, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to have somebody come on board if you're trying to pitch to first, second, and aiming at a younger reader. Or if I was looking at doing something that was Kickstarter-based and trying to create a series from it, let's say 4 issues of something that was action-adventure, but a specific kind of, you know, not super dark, but kind of a lighter tone, and I wanted it to feel like this. Oh, that guy edited this book I really like. Maybe that's somebody that I could bring in to help me plan.
I think you're better off with whether it's a professional or whether it's just somebody you really trust, or whether it's a number of people that are more advisors than editors. You know, editor feels to me, when you say you want an editor, it feels to me like you want somebody to do the work for you, which you can do and you can pay somebody to do that. But I feel like if you're an indie creator, you kind of have to know how to do this stuff on your own. And that doesn't mean that you have to know literally how to work every single program and you have to design a book, although I recommend it. But you have to know how to solve these challenges. And I think I should say this, but I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but I do think it's worth putting out a warning that I have seen on various different websites and in different places, you know, people offering editorial services, and usually this is brought to my attention because somebody I know says, hey, do you know anything about this person? And then I do a little search for them and I find out that they don't have any, at least not that I can find, you know, any real editorial experience, you know, at a company or what have you. It doesn't mean they don't have some skills or what have you, but it seems to me that what I tend to see is what looks like to me, trying to be very delicate about the way I say this, is often people who want to be professional comic book writers that are looking for some extra income is usually what I see. And again, that doesn't mean that they don't have any knowledge or they can't be helpful, but you know, I know a lot of people that have wound up hiring folks that have posted on message boards and stuff that claim to be real good at this and then find that they don't really know what they're doing. And so just if you're gonna go look for an editor for your comic, make sure that you're finding somebody with some real experience that you can verify. You know, if their experience is that they edited, you know, Books of Dynamite, or they edited Vampirella, or they edited whatever, like that's something you can verify, and you want to do that, and you might even want to look at those books to make sure that you thought they read in a way that made sense. If you wind up looking at a book that person edited and you can't tell what the plot is, then maybe you don't want to hire that person.
Right.
But I feel bad saying that because I don't want to, like, I don't, and I don't have like a particular name in mind. Like, it's not like, oh, I know that Joe Schmo is a fraud. But I see stuff where maybe people are overvaluing their experience, or they're sort of overselling their expertise, and it's just something, you know, I mean, that's something you should be cautious about no matter what, but I've definitely seen it in this arena, and probably I'm a little more sensitive to it because I take my editorial background fairly seriously, and I really believe that a good editor is a very valuable piece of the process. You know, especially for something like at a larger company, and so I probably take a little extra offense to it when I feel like people are perhaps giving editorial bad name.
That makes sense. It makes sense, and it's, I guess it's like anything else, entering into a business relationship that has, or a creative relationship that has the business component. You're feeling a lot out, and it's not a one-size-fit-all solution regardless. So yeah, it's being able to meet people in person has also always been a good thing in terms of going to cons and meeting folks. There was somebody I was interested in talking to and didn't actually get to connect with because our schedules were so varied, last New York Comic Con. And that was just an email to introduce, hey, I see that you do this and did this here. It'd be great to say hi if we're going to be in the same place and, you know, curious about what you're looking to do as far as projects. And that I'd certainly be happy to repeat again and try to find out a little bit more about somebody in person, as well as everything you've talked about. So essentially what you're telling me is I need to just go ahead and edit my own stuff. That's what I'm breaking it down to.
Yeah, the face-to-face meetings are always the better. You just get such a, you tend to get a better read of the person. So, the more you can get to know the person, obviously, the better as well. I don't know if this has been helpful, Joey. I feel like we talked about what an editor could do, but I don't know if it's actually been helpful for people. Hopefully it has.
And sometimes it's a good exercise just to talk through the mechanics of what you would do and why you would do it, and would it make sense to go a different route. I think in some cases it totally makes sense. You know, when I see friends and acquaintances that are working together, somebody in an editorial capacity, you know, can seem to bring a lot to the table in terms of indie comics or creator-owned stuff, but also, you know, there is a lot of value on the other end of kind of the peer review and having feedback in a forum like CE, where you're trying to have people at different levels are learning and giving information. And, you know, a lot of times it's five people in a row say, you know what, I don't quite get what the plot is. Where's the motivation coming in? That's probably something you need to fix. It's not always that simple and straightforward, but sometimes it is. You know, it's in your head and you do it a certain way, or somebody says, I can't understand how this page flows exactly. What are they doing, you know, from start to finish? That's good to know that before you really get committed and have started printing copies or searching around for or submitting to a publisher, that you don't quite have all your I's dotted and T's crossed for people being able to understand your stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did you have any other specific question on this that you feel like we didn't answer? Or
no, I don't think so. I think kind of wrap up. No, I think it's a good place to wrap up, and just the general thoughts I thought were helpful. If people do have specific questions about working with editor or editorial, whether it's work for hire or creator owned, please email info@comicsexperience.com or tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, and I would love to talk more about it and hear more about it, because I do think the editorial side, you know, we didn't even get into work for hire side. I'm sure that's been touched on in the past, but working for a company from Marvel and DC on down, you know, the editorial staff and the rest of the folks that are part of that company play a different role in the stories you're creating. So,
yeah, or at least additional roles. Yeah. If anybody is interested in what's coming up on the Creators Workshop, we hold a live, it's online, so you can do it from anywhere in the world where there's an internet connection, but we hold live sessions every month. And coming up in April 18th, for our members, we're doing a live workshop where we're going to dissect double page spreads and talk about how to use them, how to write a double page spread as an artist, how to use one appropriately, how to lead the eye, all that stuff. We're doing a deep dive into double page spreads. That's on April 18th. On May 9th, we're doing Finding the Tone and Look for Your Comic Book. So we're going to talk about how you go about finding the right collaborators to work with and how that might change project to project based on what that project is. So we're going to go in depth on how to do that, how to identify the tone, all that sort of stuff. Then in June, panel descriptions. This is one of those things where no matter how often I teach it, like, I can always teach more about writing really effective panel descriptions. For writers, it's about writing effective panel descriptions so that what you get back resembles what you think you're asking for. And for artists, it's how to dissect the panel descriptions, you know, in a way that organizes them properly for you. And how can you figure out, even in a poorly written panel description, what the most important aspects are and how to get those onto your page? So it's sort of both, you know, if you've got somebody that writes really effective panel descriptions and somebody and an artist that knows how to really read and pull the pertinent information out, then you're going to have a better book. So those are some of those deep dives we've got coming up in the Creators Workshop coming up. So we'd love for folks to join us. We talked a lot about the Creators Workshop, so I figured I'd just sort of end about it. And that's what I got.
Well, if you have any other topics you would like to hear talked about on the show, you can email us again at info@comicsexperience.com, tweet at Andy and the folks that are over at Comic Experience on Twitter, and we will happily talk about it here on the show. Until next time, keep editing and making comics.